I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Mike Romom, he's Dixon Kendrick, and we are brought to you by the Tillakilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tillakilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more on Tillakilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. Hi, Dixon.
Hi, Michael.
All right, now that we've gotten that out of the way... Haley, I miss you. Hopefully soon. So, Dixon, we had two games we're going to cover. Sharks and Blues Game 1, Tampa-Pittsburgh Game 2. Tonight's obviously Game 2 of the San Jose-St. Louis series. We were just talking about this. When we go through this, we don't have a lot to talk about for either game because not a lot happened in either game. I mean, looking at the game sheets that we have, that's where you say, yes, Mike, you're right.
Yes.
This is why I miss you, Haley. You know how to respond after I ask a question. I'm imagining to Pat Dixon on the head like he's a dog. All right, this is already off to a train wreck, so we might as well just keep this train going. Going to May 15th, the San Jose Sharks versus the St. Louis Blues Game 1. The lineup for the St. Louis Blues was Jaden Schwartz with Yuri Laterra and Vladimir Tarasenko, Robbie Fabry with Paul Stastny and Troy Brower, Patrick Berglund with Alexander Steen and David Backes, Steve Ott with Kyle Brodziak and Scotty Upshaw. Defense pairings were Jay Bouwmeester with Alex Petrangelo, Joel Edmondson with Kevin Shattenkirk, Carl Gunnarsson with Colton Parayko, and Brian Elliott in the net. For the San Jose Sharks, you had Thomas Hertl with Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski, Patrick Marleau with Logan Couture and Jonas Donskoy, Melker Karlsson with Chris Tierney and Joel Ward, Dana Zubris with Nick Spaulding and Tommy Wingles. On defense, you had Marc-Edouard Vlasic with Justin Braun, Paul Martin with Brent Burns, and Brendan Dillon with Roman Pollock, with Martin Jones in the net. Going into the first period, at 3:56 into the first, Yuri Laterra would be called for holding, and at 13:56, Logan Couture would be called for tripping. On that power play, the St. Louis Blues would score at 15:04, David Backes is 7th of the playoffs from Kevin Shattenkirk and Jaden Schwartz, both their 9th assists of the playoffs, and then at time that I forgot to write, Tomas Hertl would tie the game up at 1 apiece with his 3rd of the playoffs from Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns, their 5th and 12th of the playoffs respectively. Then at 17:18, Steve Ott would be called for slashing. The game would be tied 1-1 at the end of the first. Shots were 11-8 in favor of St. Louis. Faceoffs were 14-11 in favor of San Jose. Hits were 6-5 in favor of St. Louis. And on the power play, the Sharks were 0-2 and the Blues were 1-1. Then going into the second period, the only thing that happened was at the 9:15 mark, Yuri Laterra would score his 2nd of the playoffs, which was unassisted, thus giving the St. Louis Blues a 2-1 lead going into the second intermission. Shots were 24-16 in favor of the Sharks. Faceoffs were 29-23 in favor of the Sharks. Hits were 22-10 in favor of the Blues. And on the power play, the Sharks were still 0-2 and the Blues were still 1-1. Then in the third period at 8:44, Paul Stastny was called for hooking. Then at 11:06, Thomas Hertl was called for tripping. The St. Louis Blues would go on to win Game 1 2-1. Shots are 32-23 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs are 40-30 in favor of San Jose. Hits were 28-14 in favor of St. Louis. And on the power play, it was 0-for-3 for the Sharks and 1-for-2 for the Blues. So the St. Louis Blues give themselves a 1-0 series lead going into tonight's game against the Sharks in St. Louis. What do you think about that game so far, Dixon?
Sounds like it was kind of a snoozer. But hopefully St. Louis wins this one as well.
Yeah, because like I have St. Louis in 6, and you have.
I'll say St. Louis in 6 as well.
All right. You're like a puppet. You know that? A cute, adorable puppet.
Shut up.
Well, I'm not going to because this is a podcast, and if I were to shut up, this would be the most boring podcast there would ever be. And speaking of that, yesterday there was some news. The Florida Panthers restructured hockey operations, but insisted the changes were in title only. Tom Rowe was named general manager. Dale Talon, who had been the GM since 2010, was promoted to president of hockey operations. And Eric Joyce and Steve were each was named assistant general manager. Rowe had been named associate general manager in January. He has been with the Florida Panthers since 2013-14 when he was hired as coach of San Antonio, the Panthers American League affiliate, to replace Peter Horacek, who had been named Panthers interim coach. So, a little shuffling in Florida with their office. And then, of course, obviously there's the rumored logo and jersey change that they have coming. So, yeah, what do you think about that, Dixon?
It's very interesting. I mean, shuffling is going to happen from time to time, but it seems a little odd that they did it at this point, going off as a pretty successful regular season they had.
Yeah. So.
And then. With the jersey change, I got a tweet earlier in the saw a tweet earlier in the day that I think the unveil was like June 8th or something, so it's right in the middle of
the
Stanley Cup
finals. Yeah. Well, they also want to have that new jersey out in time for the draft.
Right.
Because obviously when they do the draft, it'll be front and center when they do their draft pick. So
that is very true.
So with that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we got game 2 of the Lightning and the Penguins. And then we're going to shoot the breeze and talk about the rest of the series for both series. The rest of the series for both series when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, AwesomeCon is coming right up sooner than you think. June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, John Barrowman, Peter Capaldi, Riddle, Kevin Smith, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and many others. For more information and to purchase tickets, please visit awesome-con.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. I think we have gone past the train wreck part of this episode here, hoping. Dixon and I were going over the Tampa Bay-Pittsburgh Game 2 lineups. Dixon was having trouble saying the name, so I'm going to say the lineup for Tampa Bay. Dixon will do the lineup for Pittsburgh and then take care of the rest of the game. So for the lineup for Tampa Bay Lightning, their first line was Andre Palat with Valtteri Filppula and Jonathan Drouin. Then your second line was Alex Killorn with Tyler Johnson and Nikita Kucherov. Then you had Cedric Paquette with Brian Boyle and JT Brown. You had defenseman Slater Koekkoek with forwards Vladislav Namestnikov and Jonathan Marchessault. I get my one screw up. Then on defense, you had Victor Hedman and Anton Strahlman, who was returning from injury. Jason Garrison and Andre Schuster. Matt Carl with Braden Coburn, and Andre Vasilevsky in the net for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Lightning once again dressed 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Dixon, take it away, boy.
And your Pittsburgh Penguins lineup, first line is Connor Sheary, Sidney Crosby, and Patrick Hornquist. Second line is Chris Kunitz, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust. Third line, Carl Hagelin, Nick Bonino, and Phil Kessel. Fourth line, Thomas Kuhnhackl, Matt Collin, and Eric Fair. Defensive pairings are Brian Dumoulin, Chris Letang, Trevor Daley, Ben Lovejoy, Ian Cole, Justin Schultz, and Matt Murray in net. First pair, you have a Pittsburgh goal at 4:32. Matt Collin scored his fourth goal of the playoffs, assisted from Eric Fair and Thomas Kuhnhackl, their first and fourth assists of the playoffs, respectively. At the 9:37 mark of a Pittsburgh goal, Phil Kessel scored his sixth goal of the playoffs, assisted by Nick Bonino and Carl Hagelin, their ninth and fifth assists of the playoffs, respectively. At 13:23 of a Tampa Bay penalty, Alex Kilhorn for holding. Tampa Bay goal, 16:37, Anton Strelman, his first goal of the playoffs, assisted by Jonathan Marchessault and Victor Hedman, their first and seventh assists of the playoffs, respectively. At 16:53, you have a Tampa Bay penalty, Jonathan Drouin for hooking. At 19:10, you have a Tampa Bay goal scored by Jonathan Drouin, his third of the goal of the playoffs, assisted by JT Brown and Matt Carl, their first and fourth assists of the playoffs, respectively. The end of the first period, the score is tied 2-2. Shots go 14-8 in favor of Pittsburgh. Faceoffs go 10-8 in favor of Pittsburgh. Hits go 18-13 in favor of Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay does not have a power play attempt, and Pittsburgh is 0-2 on the power play. Second period, you have a penalty, Pittsburgh penalty at 7:02. Matt Murray served by Phil Kessel for tripping. No goal scored, so the score remains 2-2. Shots go 22-15 in favor of Pittsburgh. Faceoffs go 22-19 in favor of Tampa Bay. Hits go 32-25 in favor of Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay is 0-1 in the power play, and Pittsburgh is 0-2. Third period, no goals, no penalties. Yeah!
Woohoo!
Always good when that happens. At the end of the second, score is still tied 2-2. Shots go 38-21 in favor of Pittsburgh. Faceoffs go 33-32 in favor of Tampa Bay. Hits go 47-36 in favor of Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay is 0-1 on the power play, and Pittsburgh is 0-2. First overtime, you'll have a Pittsburgh goal at 40 seconds. Goal scored by Sidney Crosby, his fourth of the playoffs. Assisted by Brian Rust and Brian Dumoulin, their second and fifth assists of the playoffs, respectively. End of the game, Pittsburgh wins 3-2. Shots go 41-21 in favor of Pittsburgh. Faceoffs are even at 33 apiece. Hits go 47-36 in favor of Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay finishes the game 0-1 on a power play, and Pittsburgh finishes 0-2.
I'm just going to say this right now. Okay, the series is tied 1-1 now. Game 3 is tomorrow. Can we have a triple, quadruple, 5 overtime game already for crying out loud? You know, I know it's torture to the players, but I know we had like what, 1 triple overtime game already this playoffs.
Yeah, that was Nashville and St. Louis. I think that was
no
game 5.
Nashville and San Jose.
Nashville, San Jose. Sorry, you're correct. Yeah, Nashville, San Jose.
But you know, it's like, it seems like every time there's an overtime game, it's over quickly. And I'm like, it's overtime. It's playoffs. Stop ending so damn quickly. Where's the drama? Come on, Sydney. You should have waited for 40 seconds into the fourth overtime to score. Because quite honestly, and this was me, last night I was watching Monday Night Raw, and I have all the team apps on the tablet, and I got the Lightning and the Blues on my phone. So I'm getting the notifications on both, but obviously I'm watching Monday Night Raw on my tablet. That's the only way I can watch cable in my room. And so I'm getting the notifications on my phone, and it says that the game's going to overtime. I'm like, all right, overtime. And it's like, overtime starting. All right, maybe I can get lucky and Raw will end and they'll still be in overtime and I can just switch over to that. Nope. 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 Freaking Sidney Crosby had to score 40 seconds in. Thanks, Sidney. You suck. For not letting me watch the game go into quadruple overtime. Thanks.
And Sidney, you wonder why we don't like you.
It's because you ended the game too freaking early, bro. Hell of a player. Hell of a player. But you ended the game too early. Too early. And everyone's like thinking, like, why do you watch Monday Night Raw over the game? Because I'm still getting through the depression that the Caps are out of the playoffs. That's why. We all cope in our own little ways. I tend to avoid the playoffs for at least a round. And being how the Caps always get knocked down the second round, I always miss the conference finals and then just start watching again during the Stanley Cup finals because that's when it gets exciting.
Yes, it does. It goes... I still remember it being very exciting 18 years ago.
Yep. So, yeah, actually, you know what? For the sake of having us a slightly longer episode than 14 minutes, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk hockey, mostly Capitals, because obviously General Manager Brian McClellan had his press conference yesterday. So we'll be back after the break.
On Friday, June 10th at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland, Jimmy's Famous Seafood presents MCW Slamboree. Come see the Outsiders, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, for a very special meet and greet. Plus, for one night only, Johnny Crab Cakes will be in action, and former WWE superstar Damian Sandow will also be in action. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit MarylandWrestling.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. Mike and Dixon here. We've already gone through games one of the West and game two of the East. St. Louis leads their series 1-0. They play tonight, and then Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh are tied at 1-1, and game three is tomorrow in Tampa Bay. Now, yesterday was General Manager Brian McClellan's press conference. I was just finished watching Jason Chimera's exit interview because he was a week later than everyone else on the team. So it was some pretty interesting things. McClellan talked about certain things that he's going to look at for fixing on the Capitals. One thing he says is obviously the top nine. He felt that he had maybe seven to eight or seven and a half for his top nine. He also said that he wants to work on the bottom, on the third pairing for defensemen, especially in the development of Nate Schmidt and Dmitry Orlov. And in general, he wanted to work on the bottom six for his offense as well. Which brings some things that you and I were talking about privately. Now we're going to talk it on a more larger scale. Dixon, I'm going to start with you. What do you think the Caps need to do now that you've heard McClellan address, yeah, we kind of need to fix this, we need to fix that. What do you think the Caps should do this offseason?
Personally, they need a stronger... I mean, you can only go so strong when it comes to a third and fourth line. But I mean, at the same time, I think they need more when it comes to the blue line. They need more speed. And to go back to what we were discussing last week with the Capitals wrap up, I don't know. And then with Johansson, you don't know what's going to happen with. You don't know if, I mean, yeah, he'll be a restricted free agent, but will the Caps re-sign him? Will he go somewhere? Could he go somewhere else?
Well, they got to re-sign him. He's restricted unless somebody throws him an offer sheet and the Caps don't match it.
Which you don't see a lot of teams nowadays
do. The last guy who got an offer sheet was Calgary offered, I think it was Ryan O'Reilly when he was of Colorado. They offer sheeted him like a 2-year contract or something like that. Or a 3-year contract, whatever it was. And then Colorado matched it to keep him. But outside that, you really don't see. And then I think the last offer sheet before that was the Flyers giving an offer sheet to Shea Weber, which is why he has the monster contract he has in Nashville right now. It's like it doesn't really happen unless it's done as a ploy to ramp up somebody else's salary cap space.
Now, the question is, I don't know how many times is this. I don't recall if this has ever happened in the NHL before, but doing like a sign and trade type deal.
That happens all the time. You know, I mean, we may not know about it half the time, but like, but the problem is that, it used to happen all the time. And then the salary cap came into play. Because before the cap, a team would have a player, they would sign him to a number that another team would be like, yeah, we take him if he was under that number, was at that number of like years and salary. And then they would just do a trade. They'd have a trade worked out when the signing happens. Now it works more in the regards of, we have this player. We know this player is going to want to sign with you. So we're going to trade this player to you guys for like a draft pick or something. And then that player signs with that team because it gives you the negotiating rights with that player before July 1st. Because that's how, you know, with Mark Straight, when he was with the Islanders, they knew he wasn't going to re-sign with them. But they knew that there would be a chance that he would sign with Philly. So they traded him to Philly for a pick. And then he signed with them before July 1. You know, Arizona, when they're still known as Phoenix, did the same thing with Ilya Bryzgalov. They traded him to Philly, you know, for a pick. So because they knew that he wanted to sign with Philly and Philly was interested in him. And obviously after 2 years, they weren't.
And then he... retired, and now
he's on the moon somewhere.
Even if he were to come back, Philly still owns his rights.
No, they bought him out. They don't own his rights. They bought him out.
Last I heard,
you're thinking about Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah, that's right. That's who I'm thinking of.
But that's another story for another day. But. That's the equivalent to a sign and trade nowadays. You know, it's when a team knows. Actually, a good example is recently was Boston Bruins trading Dougie Hamilton to the Calgary Flames. They knew he wasn't going to sign with them, so they found a team that he would sign with and traded him there and got some picks for him. Well, theoretically, got some picks for him.
Yeah.
I think they traded him away for, like, Zach Ronaldo and Lee Stempniak. Yeah, how'd the Ronaldo trade work out for Boston? But, anyways, we're digressing. Going back to the Caps. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the comment from McClellan saying that he had maybe a top 7.5 to 8 out of a top 9, out of a supposed of top 9. I mean, obviously, the seventh guy is going to be Marcus Johansson. And then if you were to say half or eight, you would say Tom Wilson. Which would then leave Jason Shabara, who was in the top 9. So that makes you wonder, hearing McClellan's comments, you know, can Jason Shemera come back next season? And I think the answer to that question is no. I think, judging from McClellan's comments, maybe Mike Richards could be back next season, even though he has always been an average skater and he could be quicker. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, he said that the development of Orlov and Schmidt is very critical for the Caps, which is true. He mentioned that Michael Latta, and I believe Stanislav Galiev would fit this description, that they just need to improve on their game, because especially for Latta, and this was the question to McClellan, was, you know, is he well-liked in that locker room? Yes, he is. He brings energy. Yes, he does. But outside that, what else does he bring you? And I like Michael Latta. He's a nice guy. But, you know, when you're thinking about that 13th, 14th forward that you carry on the roster and they're the healthy scratch, you need them to step in, you're not going to get a lot of offense out of Latta.
No.
But then an interesting thing, and actually we're going to close the episode on this point, McClellan was asked about Joel Ward. And he came out and admitted that he felt that the Caps were exposed without Joel Ward in the lineup. Which is fair, because Joel Ward brought a lot to that lineup. He crashed the net, he scored timely goals, he was a critical guy, especially in the playoffs. And he said that they want to make Tom Wilson into the new Joel Ward for the Caps. You know, gets to the net, works hard on the boards, you know, gets in the paint, you know, chips away at the garbage and gets the garbage goals. And obviously, for something like that, it's going to take time with Wilson. He needs to cut down on the dumb plays, the dumb hits. Stay out of, you know, penalty trouble, because he actually does a really good job penalty killing. But then also at the same time, he needs to work on his offense, which, you know, in juniors, he was really good at offense. It's time to start seeing that offense, you know, come into play in the season number 5, which technically should be season number 3, because he never should have been called up when Oates was coach of the Caps. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting offseason to see what moves are made, like who will sign somewhere else and who will be re-signed, who we get via trade, what have you.
Yep. So, with that said, everyone, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. He's Dixon. I'm Mike. Haley should be back soon. Hint, hint. Maybe Friday. Hint, hint. And we have been brought to you by the Till Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Till Kilt Pub and Eatery located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till Kilt Girls. For more on the Till Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. Also, you can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And until Friday, which is when the next episode will be, and we hope to have Haley, we will see you on the ice.